Yo, what up, everybody? Oh man, you know, I've been holding off on doing these spaces because I've been watching some of these games that they've been playing, and I just like get no energy, right? Like you just watch some of these few games, and like after the game, like I feel the same way you guys feel, but like after games, I just like have no energy to do anything. Like I just want to sit down and just sulk. But tonight, this is one of the best games I've seen the Kings probably play all season. All season. You went on the road and played Vancouver, this team who's just been dominating the Pacific Division all season and just suffocated them all game. Bundled. Dummied. Use any adjective you want to use. Like, every player, too. And it wasn't, like, Trevor Moore was a beast. Drew Doughty, absolute beast. Anže Kopitar, Kevin Fiala. All the boys that needed to step up. Like, what was the confidence level for you guys coming into this game? Like, out of 10, probably for me, it was probably like a 3. I had, like, no confidence. You watched the game in Edmonton. It was just like, they would look like they're just trying to get through it. The same thing with the game in Calgary. We'd been lucky to get a point out of that one. So to come into tonight with the confidence around the fan base, like I felt the same way. But and then for them to have that performance, like, oh man, that's not only a great way to end the road trip, but now you get like an energized fan, like energized fans coming into this building for a big 5-game homestand coming up. Huge, huge 5-game homestand. But for them to show that kind of performance against like Vancouver that we haven't seen all year, like I don't want to say like maybe this is really who the Canucks are, because maybe they've been struggling a little bit. But man, especially with how bad the Kings, and it's not necessarily bad. Like I don't think that they played too bad against Edmonton or even against Calgary. It just looked like they didn't have the energy or even that want to win the game. But tonight, like you watch like some of the plays, like Trevor Moore just on, what was it, one of the penalty kills he did in the second period there, just blocking shots, kneeling down, blocking shots, finishing the shift, taking on the entire Canucks team on his own. Like, I saw that effort. I'm like, oh, yeah, the boys are loving it. They're going tonight. They're feeling it. Like, I saw, and that Alex LaFerriere hit. When he got hit like that, I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, first of all, I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he's okay. But I'm almost glad that happened. Because you like were waiting for something to kind of jolt this team a little bit, kind of ignite a little bit of energy into the squad. And like you saw that hit happening, and he bounced right up. That's what Alex LaFerriere does. He's a big boy. He's been in the league for a little bit now. He bounces right back up. And like who the boys? The boys are all jawing. Even England tried to go after, but it's actually, I'm glad that England didn't drop the gloves with him. What's the point of giving them any momentum? Hey, stand up a little bit, make your point known, and just keep on playing. I'm glad England didn't drop the gloves. It's a clean hit. Nothing to be upset about. LaFerriere takes a hit to make a play. But the boys took the number. They understood what the Canucks were doing. They get it. So like, okay, you want to play that game? We're going to stick to our game. Stick to their game. And that's what they did all period, like the whole game, right? Like, it's so weird watching the Canucks play defense in contrast to how the Kings play defense. The Kings play a full man-on-man defense in their own zone. Just constant movement. They sometimes pass off defenders and attackers. But, like, you watch the Canucks, it's just full zone. So the Kings were just running circles around them all night. And it was so strange. I'm like, wow, is this really how the Canucks are really playing defense the entire way? They just run this zone defense in their own zone and just give free lane and free pass with skaters to generate momentum. And that's kind of what the Kings did. They're like, okay, if you're going to give us a space, the Kings took it and then just wait for their chances to come by And they took those two. Drew Doughty. Like I don't know if you guys watched, like go back and watched his second intermission interview with Carlin Bates. If you go back and watch that, like I was like, I'm so glad that Carlin got him because I just knew what exactly what he was thinking. What was the score after? It was 2-0, right? It was 2-0 after two periods. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, like we're good, but we've seen how this team has performed in the third period. We know, like, okay, don't want them, like in Vancouver can they can turn it up. I mean we've heard, we've seen throughout the year, but we haven't seen it against the Kings. But we've heard they got some offense, so they can turn it on. But you heard Drew Doughty in second intermission, just like, hey, Drew, you got your 500 assists. Like, how do you have? First of all, they said that the team lied to him and they said that he already got 500 assists, so he's kind of joking about that. But he asked them about that. He's like, oh no, he doesn't care. Like, all Drew wants to do is win the games. He's like, hey, we know what this team can do. We just got to play it with this. He's like, I think he said we played like a full 40 minutes, but we got to play a full 60, something like that. And like, he's like, yeah, the boys are locked in. They understand the mission that's ahead of them. You can't end this road trip and go 0-3. To carve out two, like to just at least scrounge 2 points out of the six. I mean, this is a tough roadie. You see how good the Calgary Flames have been playing before they went into Calgary. Edmonton, it's always a tough game. And I didn't think they played Edmonton too bad. But to come into Vancouver tonight and show off performance and not only get the 2 points, but dominate in the fashion they did, oh man, that gives me a ton of confidence, right? It has to give everybody a ton of confidence. And I'm not going to say like the Kings should go out and just like trade all assets, trade first round picks and everything at the trade deadline coming up because we're only a week away. But I mean, man, when you got reports saying like Adrian Kempe, Anderson, and even possibly Arvidsson could come back in like mid-March in just a few weeks, if this team could just kind of stay afloat, just stay afloat. I mean, because they're solid in the playoff race. They're like 90 plus percent in terms of playoff odds right now. So they would have to really fall off to like fall out of the playoff race. And you look at teams like the teams that are chasing him, like Calgary and St. Louis, they're going to be sellers at the deadline. So you're pretty much guaranteed almost to this point, and I'll knock on wood, you're guaranteed a playoff spot at this point. So, man, if you can get these players healthy, come around playoff time, and maybe add something here and there at the deadline, I think this is the team. If once they get on their game, they can win. That's the type of like team that can win playoff rounds, not just regular season games, but playoff rounds. You build heavy for check. And I was reading some of the comments from some of the Canucks fans throughout the game too, and you just talk, and they were just talking about, I believe I forget who shared it with me. If I bring you up, please bring it up to me. But they were just talking about how the Kings, it's so they watch the Kings play, and it's just so similar to 2012. Just they play this heavy, big forechecking game, and I'm sure that like that's exactly what we saw. It was like 2012 all over again. Drew Doughty, Anze Kopitar, and Trevor Lewis are tormenting the Canucks still in 2024. It's wild, wild. Quinn Byfield beast again. Brent Clark with the dangles. But yeah, I think Kevin Fiala probably. I don't even know who would be like the first star of the game. I'm like, you just saw so many performances. Trevor Moore, like I said, had an outstanding game. Kevin Fiala, what did he finish with? 3 points. Oh, I need to bring up the points in the box here real quick. Drew Doughty, golden two assists. Kevin Fiala, golden two assists. Anze Kopitar, goal and assist, +3. Trevor Moore, goal and assist, +2. Quinton Byfield, two assists, +2. Andreas Englund, +2. What are we doing? Oh, man, just an all-around great effort from the boys tonight. Oh, man, if they can keep that up, then got to keep it up, though. Got to keep it up. Like, you don't want to get too hyped, but I like that. Those are very good, like. I'm watching the replay of the Brent Clark goal because it's so funny because you watch Clark kind of go in and he passes off to Byfield and he sees Kopitar kind of coming down the middle when he's streaking, he points him off. I thought the point off was so funny. Like, bro, like Kopi knows what to do in that situation. He knows to back off and give you the space. And sure enough, he did it. And Brent Clark, it's so funny because you see a rookie defenseman gets that pass and then immediately shoots it, like just tries to deflect it on net. Brent Clark just gets it and then goes back in or with the backhand move on Demko. It's insane. He's just making all world goaltenders look foolish. But so good, so good. Let's hear from you guys. I'm tired of talking. I want to hear from you guys. I haven't talked to you guys in a bit. Let's get Ian in here. Ian, what's up, my man? How you doing? I can hear you. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Big one today, huh?
Yeah. But man, it's got to be the most confusing team on the planet.
You're so right. You're so right. It's a roller coaster Dude, ride, right?
Like, I remember, I don't know when was it, but I logged out of Twitter the other day just to get, like, a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they were losing. So I just, like, turned off my phone and log out for a little bit.
Vibes were
so
low.
So I finally logged back
Vibes
in.
Vibes were low, that's for sure.
After I saw they won the game. So, I'm here. But, man, it's crazy because, what was I going to say?
Let me ask you this, because it sounds like you don't have a ton of confidence after this game, and you've noticed it's kind of been this roller coaster of inconsistency so far for the Kings.
Yeah,
but
like,
I want to but let me ask you real quick: is that a little bit because of what's happened the last two games of how they played, or is it a little bit more of okay, let's how they played, and also because of the injuries that they've gone through? Because I think the injuries have kind of impacted, especially the last two games, more than anything. Because before that, they were 6-1 under Hiller.
Yeah, that is true. And I don't know what's going on, but, like, a whole team's going to be out. It's going to be, like, one guy come play off.
The injuries
just
do
one
need
guy's
to calm
gonna
down
be on
a
the
bit,
bench.
Right? The injuries do need to calm down a bit. I agree with that.
Like a whole team's getting injured and just depressing.
Yeah, I mean, the Kempe report, I think, from Dreger today about him coming back possibly in mid-March, that, I mean, that's outstanding to hear because, I mean, you watched that injury and how he fell in Edmonton. I was worried. I was extremely worried. I'm like, oh, man. Like, we kind of saw what happened with Doughty's hand. Not really a similar play, but, I mean, especially with how the Kings kind of report injuries, right? It's like you never really know.
Yeah.
So here, hopefully – that he'll be back in a couple weeks. That's great to hear.
Hopefully. I love my boy Kempe.
Yeah. Who was your number one star tonight? Give me that.
My number one has to be, I don't know. I would say Brent Clark.
Brent Clark in his 7 minutes played? Okay. Okay.
That's my boy.
I think that goal just made you a little happy, huh?
Yeah, because I've been rooting for him for, like, since he came in, like, those 9 games that he had last season, and I was so mad that he got sent down. But
I think it was the right decision at that time last year, but I think this year now, I mean, his deployment obviously isn't as high as maybe some would want, or maybe he even would want, but I mean, he's getting played in the right situations. I feel like I think Hiller did a good job in terms of managing the minutes for a lot of guys. I mean, Quentin Byfield, I'm looking at Kyle Garcia's post. Quentin Byfield played over 23 minutes tonight. That guy was an absolute monster all over the ice.
Byfield's my guy too.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, he's playing on a line with Kopitar, who obviously we know what Kopi does. He had an outstanding game himself, but Alex Turcotte on the other side. I mean, how long have you been waiting for Alex Turcotte to kind of even just make his presence known in the NHL? And now all of a sudden he's healthy. He's not producing a lot in terms of points, but he's an effective player. He's doing probably what we all maybe expected Alex Turcotte to do when he first gets his feet wet in the NHL. Just be a puck hound all over the ice and be an agitator. Show that intensity that we've heard about. And I think we saw it a little bit. I mean, he was kind of mucking it up with some of the Vancouver players, getting into a lot of the dirty areas and helping set up for Byfield and Kopitar. So actually, I think that whole line just had a great, great night. And kind of just rounded out back to your opinion on Brent Clark. I mean, there were times where I saw those three out together with Doughty and Clark. So it's kind of funny to see all those first round picks, right, for the Kings of the years past. Kopitar, Doughty, Turcotte, Byfield, and Clark all on the ice together, and they were outstanding.
Once Kopi and Drew leave, those are going to be top players on the team. Those are going to be leaders. So, like, it's cool to, like, see him get goals early on, because like once Kopi and Drew retire, it's gonna be all them.
Exactly. I mean, you obviously, we've been watching Byfield all year long, and we kind of know and what to expect from Clint Byfield on any given night. So that's been good to see. We're looking for the breakout there, and now we're starting to see a little glimpse of Brant Clark, who we see Andre Kopitar possibly going to pass the torch off to Quentin Byfield at a certain point, but then we're going to see Drew Doughty going to pass possibly the torch off to Brant Clark, and it's good to see Clark getting, once he's getting his games in, he's getting some of his presence. He's making his presence known. So, but Ian, I appreciate you hopping
in. Wait. I want to say one more thing.
What's up? What you got?
So I know you mentioned Vancouver fans earlier, and they have to be like the most cocky fans in the league. All season, I've been hearing them talk shit about everything. Like, they get so excited, they have to be the most cocky fans in the league.
Hey, let's be fair. They haven't won anything. So, and especially they haven't been in the playoffs in some time. So they get a good team. They went on a good run for a bit. I'm curious to see how they perform in the playoffs. I'm not necessarily too sold on them. Obviously, this is our first look at them against the Kings, and it was good performance by LA. So, and they've been struggling a bit. So we'll see. They'll obviously make the playoffs. I'm no doubt about that. But we'll see how they perform once the games get a little bit more important. But Ian, like I said, I appreciate you hopping on here, buddy. I got a couple more people on here. I'm gonna get to you.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Let's go to Scary McLaurinian. What's up, man? Long time no talk. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, man?
Doing pretty good.
So, first of all, thanks for doing this. I really, really, everyone, I think, really appreciates it. Those post-game talks are amazing. I can't always catch them because I'm on the East Coast in Montreal.
Yeah, but, yeah. I appreciate when I you can, staying
up late for us. No. It's a pleasure, especially after a game like this. I tweeted you after the game. The boys are not ready to quit. There's a lot of experience on this team. Kopitar, Doughty, even PLD a bit. the boys are not ready to quit. They know that they have to get in. The leaders know what they're doing. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure Blake gave them a pep talk because his job is basically on the line.
Yeah.
And no, amazing performance. I'll be honest, I only caught the third period because I was doing something else. And as soon as I tuned in, it was 2-1. And they run away after they run away with it after that. But no, amazing game. Even those two other games, Edmonton, they had it until the third period. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
And Calgary, well, I think they were a bit deflated by the Kempe injury. There were hardly any offense, even though Markstrom was getting scored on. That was very surprising. but amazing game. And like you said on your YouTube channel, things can turn around, man. It's one game, and look how we're happy. if the boys can go on a run, win a couple of games, they have New Jersey Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. I think it's doable. They're, like you said, 90% chance they get into playoffs, and we'll see what happens after that. I'm very, very, very happy, especially when they get their boys back. King's Twitter gotta calm down a bit.
hey, I don't blame some people. I mean, it was pretty low.
Yeah.
I think like I mentioned with Ian, especially when you kind of add the injuries that have impacted, then you're like, oh crap, then how is that gonna perform? Because you had seen how they've been playing. I mean, even after the Anaheim win, you saw people, people were still kind of a little bit worried about their performance, even though I thought that was a pretty good game. I mean, they had 50-plus shots on goal. It's a rivalry game, Saturday night.
Yeah.
You get the 2 points. So it was a little disappointing how they came out flat against Calgary. But like you mentioned, too, the campaign injury maybe impacted their energy a little bit. But I think what's getting everybody so excited, like you mentioned, too, is now we're so happy and things have changed so much, is this is the team that we saw earlier on the season. And it gives you hope that maybe they can just turn it on a little bit, get up to that speed a little bit too, and show that energy that they had been showing in on the road, especially in October, November, at points this year. So I think that's why we're all so excited.
Definitely. And let's not forget that this is the team that went on that early run on the away games. I was at the one in Montreal, and that Byfield goal, I saw it right in front of my eyes. It was completely it was nuts, man. It was nuts. No. I think they're fine. Yeah, you discussed it on your YouTube channel. They have a decision to make with Roy. But you see, guys, the guys are giving Blake a reason to stick with it, right? To stick with it and just to try to see where this gets us, because Kopi and Drew don't have a lot of years left, and I'm sure they don't want to sell Roy for picks or for futures or so. No, amazing. I'm kind of at a loss of words, but no, they're gonna keep it up, and hopefully when they get in, that's when we're gonna see PLD's impact. Because that third last year, we got destroyed by the Bukestad line versus Edmonton. So let's see if we get Arvidsson back, when we get Kempe back. Let's see how that third line looks. So, no, definitely. And big props to Byfield, man. We were debating on how many points is enough for us to consider him a great season. Remember that talk at the early in the season?
Yeah.
I got 20, 25, 30, 40 points, maybe. No, the guy is leading the squad, and I'm happy we didn't give up, because, like I said, here in Montreal, they were always giving up on Slavkovsky, and Slavkovsky is producing pretty good now. So, no, it's good, man. It's good times. Hopefully they keep it up, and it's the stress run. They know what it takes.
Yeah.
A lot of veterans in there, and I don't want to take too much of your time. I know a lot of people want to tune in, but thanks for giving me the time to talk. I really, really appreciate it, Russ.
Yeah, I appreciate you hopping on here, man. Yeah, and staying up with us over there in Montreal.
No worries. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one.
Likewise.
We had talked. He mentioned we've been talking about Matt Roy, and that's kind of been a sticking point. And I don't – like, it feels – it's such a weird situation for the Kings to be in. And, like, I think the reports and of all the players that were coming back from injury – aren't going to be out. Like, we were worried, like, I think right around when we had those Matt Roy discussions, we were worried that Kempe might have been lost for the season. We don't even really know Mikey Anderson's update really either, even though we've heard Arvidsson is supposed to be back before the regular season ends. So, I mean, man, if this team, like you talked about, like, this team is built for the playoffs. They're built to win playoff rounds. And if they can get those pieces healthy, like, especially with a player like Dubois, who, I mean, that seems to be even that's the big talking point still, which, I mean, he's been struggling. The last two games were some of his worst two games under, at least under Hiller, that's for sure, and probably even of the season. But we saw how good he played when the top nine was fully intact with Arvidsson in the lineup, too. So I don't want to say that he needs great good wingers to play with in order for him to be good, because that shouldn't be the case. But we've seen what he can do with those wingers on his side and playing with him. So I'm curious to see, like, if – I know there's a lot of discourse around him, and he's been underwhelming by far this season. I'm not going to lie and say he hasn't. But I'm curious to see how he starts performing once playoff time comes around, if this team does want to make a run in the playoffs going forward. I want to see what his impact is there, because I think if he has a great playoff – and starts to pick it up around there, I think everybody's going to start forgetting his performance during the regular season so far. So we'll see what happens when we get there, though. Let's go to Mason. Let's get you in here, Mason. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm pretty.
Oh, did we lose you? I think we might have lost you. Miss, I'm going to take you off, and then I'll bring you back. Just go ahead and request to speak. Let's go to OC Steve. OC Steve, what's up, man? How you doing?
Along with COVID, so this was a nice surprise, dude.
Little pick-me-up.
Yeah, so, like, starting to feel better. Fact, tomorrow we got three-time Stanley Cup champion Jordan Nolan to come do Shoresy Night in Ontario. It's kind of funny in itself.
I saw that. I saw he'll be there. That's awesome.
So you can meet and greet and take a photo with one of the three gyms.
There we go. There we go.
But tonight, man, like, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, they're the 800-pound gorilla in the Pacific Division right now. And I just was like, this is going to be a litmus test to see. Honestly, from what other people had said earlier tonight, man, like with the whole Calgary thing, I think it was just that Kempe was out, was just like a shot across the bow, and they just didn't know how to regroup in less than 24 hours.
Oh, I mean, even that, too, like the first, what was it, tied going into the third period? And it was just like, it was kind of a sleepy performance by the Kings, but it was just a sleepy game in general. And then they just kind of fell apart in the third there. And that's maybe, like you mentioned, with Kempe going out. And then even at the end of a back-to-back, too. I like your comment, though, about the 800-pound gorilla in the Pacific Division. I want to drill in on that a little bit more because, like, if you think about it, do you think any team would want to face the Kings the way they're built if they get everybody healthy?
No, and I think, you know, that's the argument that I tell everybody. I'm like, when we lose these games, it's because we have substantial guys missing out of our locker room, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you think so, about, too, like, all the overtime losses that the Kings have endured this year, there's not going to be any 3-on-3 in the playoffs. You're just going to be looking, playing 5-on-5 the entire way. So,
yeah, and I mean, there, you know, we can't really beat ourselves up with that overtime. That was just bad pairings, you know, and that sure was totally on T-Mac's discretion. Like, we could have at least won half of those depending on who we put out in overtime.
At least Byfield, right?
Well, yeah, or just anybody that was hot that night. Like the fact that Moore wasn't in the playoff in the conversation, or you weren't trying to go with Deneau and Moore, and then maybe throw in like a Spence just to try to, you know, put in a mix, just see if it sticks and work with it.
Yeah, 100%. But so about the matchups, it's right now it's looking like the Kings might be a wild card team. You never know about with Vegas. Because, I mean, it sounds like Mark Stone's going to be out all year.
You mean they're doing their typical Vegas cap manipulation?
I'm just saying what the reports are. Don't shoot the messenger. But there's reports that he's going to – I mean, even then, the regular seasons. I mean, the Kings aren't that far behind him. They have him out for the regular season. Edmonton, you never know. And then, I mean, Kings have a pretty easy schedule to finish out the rest of the year. I mean,
technically, where we're sitting today, if the playoffs started, we'd be essentially facing Dallas,
facing the Central Division leader, which would be a tough matchup.
Yeah.
So I want to get to, like, who would you want to face in the playoffs if it gets to that point?
Like, if it came to either Vancouver or Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, you can play Edmonton. There's a possibility Vegas could drop to the wild card. You never know.
Well, I mean, I'd just say as of today, like, let's just leave it at that. And it's, you got either Dallas or you got Vancouver. I wouldn't be afraid to face Vancouver if we're healthy.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, especially after tonight, and maybe it's a little bit of recency bias too there. But, I mean, you see that the way that the Kings match up against Vancouver, I mean, if they can just slow them down in the neutral zone and slow down players like Pedersen, Besser, Quinn Hughes was just – he was shut down completely tonight. I'm watching Quinn Hughes just get absolutely dummied by Trevor Lewis on the corner boards of all people. And I'm like, dude, like, they're giving him no space, and he's been able to do whatever he wants all year. So to see them play that way against the Vancouver squad, who, you, like, we've just heard about how electric their offense is all year. And for us to do that to them in the first showing in Vancouver of all places too, that would have to give him a ton of confidence if they have to play Vancouver in the first round, which I don't know if it'll get to that point. But, I mean, how many points is Dallas behind? Or they're in front of Vancouver, aren't they? Or are they behind him?
No, they're in front of him. I think just by like a handful, nothing crazy, dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, man, if the Kings can avoid a wild card spot or the second or two seed and have to face Vegas or Edmonton in the first round, I mean, that's where I'm kind of with you. I'd sign me up for a matchup against Vancouver, even though you never want to pick your playoff matchups, but I'd be totally okay with that.
Well, I just – Dallas is a sleeper right now, dude, and they've been solid. So there's – you know, Vancouver's starting to show a little, like, wear in the armor. So I'd rather go with that team if I had to pick one.
Who's your player of the game tonight? Who's your number one star?
Dude, I mean, we had about at least four or five of them just looking at the score sheet alone. Everybody had at least a goal and an apple. And I mean, Q's been staying consistent, but it was nice to see Clark do some stuff too, you know?
I mean, even like I mentioned earlier, 7 minutes played, 7:06. He still made the impact that he made just in that simple time. And I think Hiller did a good job with the deployment of the 11-7 lineup. I think he utilized Clark in the right situations. I mean, if you have a choice between Brant Clark or Jordan Spence, I'd maybe favor in defensive situations, I'd maybe just favor Jordan Spence a little bit more. So if you're able to give Brant Clark a lot more offensive zone opportunities, I mean, right now at this stage of his career, when he's so young, I think that's a great idea. And it seems to be what they did a little bit tonight. Because when I saw Clark, Doughty, Kopitar, Turcotte, and Byfield on the ice together, there's a lot of good stuff happening. So that was very exciting to see.
That anytime where we can get some confidence in our net tenders, like not that Talbot faced a ridiculous amount of shots. What did it come down to, like 22, 24 shots he faced?
Yeah.
But that also means defense is helping him out in that regard, too.
Yeah, I thought the defense did a great job. I mean, Matt Roy and Gavrikov were a little hemmed in a little bit at the early part of the game, but they really stepped it up. I thought Matt Roy – I mean, the forwards, too, they were getting into shooting lanes. How many block shots did the Kings finish with tonight? I have to take a look at that because I know Trevor Moore had a couple. He was selling out the body. I know Matt Roy had a couple. I'm going to try to pull that up, but – I mean, yeah.
I mean, my thing, man, is we got the trade deadline looming. Let's not do anything stupid.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk a little bit of trade deadline with some people tonight because obviously we're only a week away tomorrow. And first, the Kings finished with 23 block shots. Insane number.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, Talbot didn't even face like 30 shots because the defense was doing their job tonight.
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you, and then I'm gonna get to some other people that want to speak. But I want to ask you, what do you want to see the Kings do at the trade deadline coming up?
Unless we can go get, we're good forward wise. I don't want to see anything forward wise.
Okay.
Defense wise, if we can get an upgrade, and it's only at the cost of Roy. Because I know that's kind of like the unquestionable right now is if he's going to stay. Obviously, we can't keep him. So maybe we trade him in for something that's going to be beefed up. Because let's be honest, next season on the right-handed side, it's Drew Doughty, it's Spence, and it's Clark.
Yeah, 100%.
That's just being real. Next season, those are going to be our right-handed defensemen. Mm-hmm. So Roy is the odd guy out. Thank you for your service. We can't afford you. We're in cap constraints. So if we can go rent something for him, I think we make a move there, either in defense or as a package deal for a net tender that would be available. But that's a unicorn in itself.
Mm-hmm. See, I like just a few days ago, I was totally on board with that. And I almost, you can still probably convince me depending on what you can get back in a trade with Roy. But I have to tell you, that Tanev return, that was a little scary because you're looking at a player in Tanev who's pretty similar in terms of value as Matt Roy. So to see them only get that second rounder, I think if they got a second, a third, a conditional third at that, I think that third only comes into play if Dallas makes the Stanley Cup. And then that prospect, although it sounds like they're really high on that prospect. You could say that maybe all that put together is like a first round pick. You could say that. But even then, like, I would probably, like, just to say what I would probably do, my strategy is right now, if this team can get healthy at come playoff time and have a full force of their forwards up front with Arvidsson healthy, Kempe back healthy, and then you have a really solid top nine. We've seen Blake Lizotte now start to get his legs back underneath him, so he can really fill out that fourth line too. I'm, like, totally with you. Like, I don't really see a need for a forward group or a forward at that point. But I do, like, for me, like, with how trades have been going and a lot of retention, if Blake can get creative and somehow figure out a way to get a player like Noah Hanifin on the Kings, and then you have a really solid lefty core of Mikey Anderson, Noah Hanifin, and Gavrikov, and you can utilize all three of them however which you want, I mean, that's really – I mean, just to kind of get Englund out of the lineup come playoff time too, I think that's
– Yeah, you have a that's, really solid that is my core. Unspoken concern, Russ, is that – he is a brute, and penalties in the playoffs will kill us if England's in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think if you could figure out a way to upgrade that lefty spot, and I know Joe and I have talked about it. We talked about it a little bit on the YouTube show the other night. If you could figure out a way to upgrade that lefty spot, and then I don't know, maybe you interchange Clark or Spence on the right side, figure it out come game by game basis, I guess. But man, I mean, that would really kind of solidify the whole blue line. And then we have a really solid forward lineup to go back once everyone's healthy. I mean, sounds pretty good because you can just roll out whatever D pair you want at that point with a player like Hanifin to kind of fill out the left side. And I know his contract's expensive and his cap hit's kind of high, but we've seen a lot of retention go out. I think the last two trades, in Labushkin and Tanev, both of them were 75% in terms of retention. Tanev's cap hit's only like $1.1 million on Dallas's books, which is just above like league minimum. So figure it out. I don't know what piece that would cost. Maybe Arthur Kaliev. I don't know if I would be on board trading away the first round pick this year. That would be a kind of a hard sell.
We've already done a first round pick for this year. So if I had to pick somebody, like if we had to make a move and it had to be like a package deal where we had to move Arthur Kaliev and maybe, you know, we get somebody down in Ontario, you know, because they got guys still lighting up the lamp down there. I would be fine with like Fagamo as a part of that deal because he's proved that he has value. And I just don't really see him fitting into the King system in the future, but I'm pretty sure you could definitely put him as a package deal.
It would be interesting. I don't know what his value would be. I mean, he was on waivers earlier on the year. He's been on waivers twice, actually. So I don't know what his value is, but Arthur Kaliev probably has a lot of value. I don't know what the teams, I don't know how the Kings feel about Kaliev, to be honest with you. That's an interesting one. Because I know as his name comes up, I'd be very surprised if they do end up trading him. I think they still see a player in him. Maybe he's on that kind of Adrian Kempe trajectory where he just all of a sudden turns 24 and then is a 40-goal scorer or something like that, 30-goal scorer or something like that. So we'll see what happens there with Kaliev. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about the net tending. If we can shore up everything else, I mean, let's be honest, man. We got to look at the money ball of it. Vegas won with Aaron Dell.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is the game. If this is the game that the Kings need to play that we saw tonight, this is the type of game that they need to play come playoff time. And where you limit a lot of the chances. Of course, there's going to be a lot. We're going to see a better team, even if, like, let's say, even if we do play the Canucks in the playoffs, you're going to see a better Canucks team come playoff time. But if you're able to stick to your game like the Kings are, where they limit a lot of those high danger chances, I think it definitely makes the job of the goaltender a lot easier in terms of Calbert and Riddick. And Riddick's been playing pretty well, even when he has been tested. So if Talbot can get his game back too, that'd be outstanding.
If we can make Vancouver riot again and watch them implode, that would make me a happy camper. And I'll just leave it at that, man. I appreciate you, Russ.
Yeah, I appreciate you, buddy. Feel better, all right?
Will do. Thanks, man. Go Kings, go.
Take it easy. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling. Oh, Mason's back. Mason, you back with me?
Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How you doing?
There we go, man. It's doing great. Oh, great night tonight. My goodness.
Yes, sir. Man, needed that.
We needed that. I got a few points here. I think one of the biggest talking points was with this coaching change on how it was going to affect PL. Mm-hmm. But I really am seeing what a change in Kevin Fiala. My goodness.
Absolutely.
What is it? So 5 goals in the last 6, and then he scored tonight. So that's what, 6 in the last 7?
And it's so funny because I'd been talking about Fiala. I talked about in the live stream we did the other day how, like, I want to see Fiala just go on one of these spurts or get in one of these spurts where he just has, like, 8 points in, like, 5 games or something crazy like that. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. What? 5 points in his last 2 games plus 4?
Crazy. Especially insane. On the power play.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. And I think a little bit, too, like, look at his minutes. He played only 16, set 48 tonight, so not too much. But even the last game, played over 21 minutes. So
that's crazy.
I'll say it. I've mentioned this a couple times, but one thing that caught my I remember Hiller saying when he first took over, it was the question that he got asked about Pierre Dubois, and he said that if Pierre Dubois plays well, then he's going to be playing more. But then he also said that if someone else is playing well, then they're going to play more, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing him play the players that have the jump in their legs more and more, especially players like Byfield, who we've seen the jump in his legs all year.
Right.
And now he's getting rewarded with it with more playing time, and we're seeing it with Fiala too now these last two games.
Yeah, I don't think what we're seeing from Byfield now should be no surprise. I think this is the standard. This is the norm, if you will, and that's outstanding, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Great stuff from Byfield. Russ, what about this 11-7 combo? Is this the first time that we've really seen this?
I'm not sure. We may have seen it sometime in this season. I could be wrong. Definitely the first time under Hiller, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
No, I don't either. I quite enjoy that flexibility of, you know, maybe we get that offensive zone draw and you can immediately go for a Brant Clark, you know, a little bit more offense. Yeah, I love that flexibility.
Well, especially, I mean, we saw Brant Clark out there with Drew Doughty at times. Yeah. I mean, how much did they play together tonight? And so, like, and we've seen it with Hiller. Like, he's the mad scientist, right? Throughout the games, he'll just have every, like, he'll switch off line combos like it's nothing. I mean, McClellan was so hard-headed when it came to that to say, like, I'm going to stick with the lines that we got, and then that'll be it. Mm-hmm. But with Hiller, I mean, we see, like, nine different forward line combos throughout just in one game.
Right.
And it's been like that every game, too. So, I mean, if you have only 11 forwards, that's no different than what he's been doing as it is to shuffle in guys left and right. And I thought he did a pretty good job managing that again.
Right? Like, if we see more of this 11-7 going forward, I wouldn't complain one bit.
At least until players are healthy, right? I mean, yeah. While you have – so, yeah, Doughty and Clark played over 5 minutes together. Five shots, four, two against – or three, four, three against. So, it looks like – oh, no. I'm looking at the wrong one. Oh, yeah, Doughty, Clark. So, 85% goal share, 71% Corsi share. That 85% goal share, I think, was best on the team. So, yeah, like you mentioned, if you have those seven defensemen, you get those offensive zone faceoffs. If you're going to have a chance to get Clark out there with Doughty, man, that'll pay off with – that's electric factory right there.
Oh, especially in the playoffs.
Especially in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when those – you got to take advantage of your opportunities, especially for this Kings team, too, that don't get a ton of chances. I think they only finished with how many shots on goal? 20, 23, something like that. Even with five goals.
Right.
So you got to take advantage of your opportunities. So put the players out, your skilled players out in situations that they could thrive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I love about Hiller so much in terms of his coaching tenure so far is he'll just give the guys the best opportunity that he may have them succeed. And there's like, for one example too, is like you see it after penalty kills, after Kings kill a penalty, usually Vancouver or like any opponent will have their best players come off the ice off a power play. So they'll put on their third or fourth line guys. And you see the Kings just attack with like Kevin Fiala, Dubois, Byfield, like just attack right away with their high skilled guys against those players. And it's paid off too. So
yes.
I think Hiller's done a good job in terms of deployment as a head coach.
Agreed. And my last point, so I can let other people get on here. My player of the game has got to be Trevor Moore. I think that was an outstanding game. We haven't seen something like that from him in a minute. I know he's been cold the last little bit, but I think you mentioned it earlier, that PK where he took on the entire team 1v4 and still took the puck to the net. That was – that for me, yeah. I was like, wow.
Man, he was like his motor was running on – like he was on fire all night. Like insane, all over the puck, everywhere on the ice. Blocking shots, had the two block shots on the ice for two goals, 81% expected goal share. Man, just best on the team, right? But Kevin Fiala right behind him in the 13 minutes Trevor Moore had 5-on-5. Yeah, dude, a ridiculous game. And it was funny because I think I saw Trevor in terms of the players that reacted to Alex LeFerrier getting hit. I think Trevor was one of the first players that kind of popped up. And I wonder if that hit that he saw kind of gave him a little bit of energy to work with, because that was one of the best games I've seen him play in some time.
And yeah.
Saw early season Trevor Moore again tonight.
Lighted that fire. I mean, granted, Drew Doughty was an absolute monster tonight. He could be arguably the player of the game. But for me, it was Trevor Moore.
Dude, yeah. On fire.
Yeah.
On fire.
Hey, and then this five-game home stretch, I'm excited to see how we approach it. You know, we've not really been the best on home ice, so hopefully we can turn things around here.
It'll be interesting to see how they do on this homestand. We got New Jersey on Sunday. I mean, New Jersey's kind of – they're not playing too great. And no. Kings are back home. I would expect the Kings to kind of work the Devils a little bit there. Then you got Vancouver again on Tuesday. They're going to want some revenge for how they
right.
played
yeah, that, tonight. That, circle that one. That one's going to be an entertaining game.
That's going to be a great game, I feel like. And then you got the Senators next Thursday, and that's the game before the trade deadline. So, curious. I mean, these three games, that'll give Rob Blake a good indicator of how the team fares going into deadline if he wants to make a move or two. So, be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, you betcha. Well, hey, Russ, I'll let other people get on here, but thank you for having me.
Appreciate you hopping on here, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Love it, love it. Let's go to Fiala's Beer. Fiala's Beer. I think that's a great, great name to bring on here, especially with the game that Fiala played tonight. Fiala's Beer, what's up?
What's up, Russ? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good.
That's good to hear.
What's on your mind?
Well, it was about the game, but after I heard you talk about Noah Hanifin, that's all I've been thinking about.
Trust me, man. That's all I've been kind of been thinking about, too. Trying to figure out a way. I've been drumming away on Cap Friendly, trying to figure out a trade in order to get him in here, especially now. It's going to be tough, though. I mean, like, I think the retention that we're seeing around the league, it's not as pricey as I would have expected. And Lyubushkin is not, like, necessarily the high-profile name that's going to garner any trade assets anyway. But the Tanev trade, I was like, okay, I thought there'd be a little bit more there. But and especially for a lot of teams that seem to be in need of right-shot defense. I mean, the Kings seem to be one of the few teams that are in need of a left shot, in my opinion, or in need of a left-shot defenseman. So you see a name like Hanifin floating out there, and you just kind of throw him on the Kings lineup on the left side there. I mean, man. If you get Hanifin and Doughty on the ice together in certain situations, I think that's pretty special.
Yeah, that would be a very good pairing. But another thing I also wanted to point out to you, I think Kaliev is – I think he's done as a Los Angeles King. I think he's getting traded. Okay. I just don't know what return we would get for him, if it's picks or if it's for a rental. I don't know.
That's the thing, too, is like if – you want to trade Kaliev just to kind of get assets for him. You're not going to get that much in return. Maybe a third round pick, maybe even a second round pick. Who knows? It's not like you're going to get any good, decent pieces back. I mean, so you possibly maybe add him to a package deal to get a player like Hanifin in return, or get another piece in return that you're looking to upgrade this team now. Because, I mean, if Rob Blake traded Arthur Kaliev and maybe like a second or third round pick, I don't think they have a second. They don't have their second and third round pick this year. So, but they have them the next few years. So, if you're able to piece those package, if you're able to package those pieces together, for a quality NHL in return to upgrade the team, I don't think anyone's gonna be too upset about it. But I don't know if that'll be a package that would get a player like Hanifin back. You probably have to add. Man, I don't know. You probably have to get that 2024 first rounder in there with Kaliev in order to get Hanifin back in return. And that would be a tough sell. I think the Kings would have to show a little bit more consistency these next three games, that they can play the type of game that they play tonight. I think Rob Blake they'll give a little bit more confidence in Rob Blake to give him to the go-ahead to do something next Friday.
And I was actually surprised none of the fans said Kevin Fiala was the first star. I thought he played one of his best games this season, and I think he deserves the first star. Just making plays, the assist for Trevor Moore's goal was just – I think it hit the defender's skate. I'm not sure. But if it didn't, it was a crazy pass, him scoring. He's been hot recently. You know, with Kempe going down, it's huge that he's stepping up.
Dude, I think Fiala, tonight was probably one of his best games of the year, to be honest with you. The last two games, he's been outstanding. Like I mentioned earlier, second behind Trevor Moore in expected goal share at 81%. On the ice for two goals at 5-on-5, none against, all over the place on the ice. And I wonder if maybe Hiller's always kind of been a guy – I've said it at times, he's been a guy that's going to really build a relationship with his players, be a big communicator and try to really kind of get to know these players. And I wonder if he had a conversation with Kevin Fiala, like especially in the last like the last two games when we saw Adrian Kempe go down in Edmonton. I wonder if he had a conversation with Fiala to kind of prop him up a little bit and say like, hey, Fiala, like Kev, they're going to have to lean on you a little bit more with Kempe out. I mean, because we're seeing him turn up these last two games too, against Calgary the last game and again tonight. Like, he's been probably some of the best stretch so far this season for Kev. And if he can keep it up, that's a huge bonus for the Kings to get that good Kevin Fiala now back for the rest of the year, because they're going to need him, especially until Kempe comes back from injury, when you're losing a little bit of skill up there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Russ, for letting me speak. I don't want to take any more time up and let other people talk. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you hopping on here, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to David. It's so weird. I feel like the vibes tonight, it's like we're just like waiting to get excited a little bit. We're not there yet. Like, this game was a big one, but I think we're still kind of feeling out from the last two games that we saw and a little bit of injuries. But David, how you doing, man? You there, buddy? I see you unmuted, but it looks like it just says speaker next to your name. I'm going to keep it rolling. I'm going to go to TV. TV, what's up?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, I can hear you. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Good night. Good win.
Yeah, good win for sure. Yeah, I only caught the third because I was coaching my club team for polo. But yeah, I came back and able to catch the third, and that was, you know, real good. They cut the lead down there with the Bozer snipe, and it was like, shit, I don't know. Let's see how they respond, and they responded. They dug their heels in and kept the Canucks on their toes. So,
man, for sure. Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm glad you said that, because once it went 2-1, I'm like thinking like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah, but,
dude, that Fiala goal, I mean, that pass by Kopitar to Kevin Fiala was just incredible. Fiala to have the mindset too to wait for that pass and get his stick out there, it was just perfect. So I'm glad that they were able to respond as quickly as they did, especially on the power play. And take, like it was talking about earlier, take advantage of the chances that you got. And it was maybe a little bit of a chintzy call there on Kev, but, I mean, that first one against Byfield was just absolutely embarrassing for Makhachev. So for right. The Kings to take advantage of that power play and make it a two-goal game again, I think that just took the whole air out of the arena there. And yeah. Because the Kings, like you said, you only saw the third period. That third period, the Kings played the exact same way they've been playing all game, just suffocating, just not giving any room to the Canucks and taking everything that the Canucks were giving them. It was just an like full 60-minute effort by the Kings tonight.
Good, good. I mean, and that's what we need, right? I think at least the third period, at least, and from what I've seen of the first two periods, because I try to catch like what I can when I see highlights posted. Yeah, I mean, they looked like they got some moxie back a little bit after losing it for so long. Like, I don't know, those last two games. Well, no, not last two games. I guess last four periods before this Canucks game, the last period of Edmonton and the whole game versus Calgary, I was like,
yeah.
This is not a team that goes far in the playoffs. Like they look flat. And that was the word that came to mind when I was watching them. They just seemed like disjointed and not like they had their legs under them. And it was just, you know, maybe you can call it fatigue or something, but you know, you gotta play a full game. And that's what they finally were able to do again. And we know they're capable of it because we watched the same team do it.
100%.
So I think it's good to have their moxie back a little bit for sure.
Yeah,
I hope like it that. Stays around.
It looked like they just weren't having any fun against Calgary. They were kind of just out there just skating around, and it's a tough end of a back to back, especially after playing against Edmonton and losing Kempe. It's definitely going to wear on them a little bit. It just seemed like they went into a shell and just tried to grind out any point that they could. And the third period was just, they just couldn't finish it off. So to come out tonight they had the day off yesterday. So to come out with the energy that they had tonight, that's just an absolute boost to confidence. It's going to be a good flight home, so that's going to feel good too for the boys. They're going to have they're off tomorrow, I believe. They have practice on Saturday. Hopefully to get maybe a little bit better of an update on Kempe and Anderson, maybe a little bit more firm, because it sounds like they'll be back by March, but I just want to hear it from the coach and him, let him say that. So you can get that confidence after the win tonight and then go back home for five straight and hopefully turn it around at home. Cause I mean, we've seen them perform really well consistently at times, I guess, consistently on the road, but we haven't seen them put together a good stretch of games at home so far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, last year they did it. Last year they were able to do it. They had that great march playing at home. I think they set a franchise point streak at home. So hopefully they can replicate what they did at home last year and do it again this year.
Yeah, I don't get – you know what? Another thing is sometimes I see some people talk about, man, our fans suck at crypto. I'm like, what do you mean? Kings? I think Kings games are great. I think Kings games are a lot of fun. And I think everyone, you know, at least engaged enough where it doesn't suck energy out of the building.
Oh, so, man, like, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I think they're fun.
Great. I mean, there's been games where, like, the fans don't have anything to really cheer about. I mean,
exactly.
I'll like look the back Buffalo game. The Buffalo game, there's that game. Or even the last Nashville game that they played where they lost 2-1. It just – Nashville just took all the energy out of the building. I mean, credit to them. I thought Nashville just played a really good game. But they won a game against Columbus. They won a game against Anaheim. So, what, 2 out of 3 at home? And then they beat Edmonton at home 4-0. So, kind of see it turning around a little bit. And then maybe you have that 5 stretch of games now where you have, like we mentioned on Sunday, you have New Jersey coming into town. They're not necessarily the greatest team. They give up a lot of chances. We see how the Kings play when they have those chances. Mm-hmm. So, you have a couple days off until then. You get Vancouver again, which I think – I forget who mentioned it earlier – I believe it was Mason who said that's going to be a game to circle, and I totally agree with him. That's going to be an outstanding game. Vancouver's going to want to get the revenge for tonight, so that'll be a fun game to watch Tuesday. Hopefully you get a little bit of a playoff atmosphere to that game too, so that should be fun. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you have you have Ottawa, and then you have Ottawa on Thursday, next Thursday, which that should be a winnable game. And then the next one is Dallas, I believe, which should be another playoff-type atmosphere on a Saturday night, which I'm kind of excited for too. So Fun stretch of games, but all winnable games. I think they all have a chance to win all of them.
Yeah, for sure. And quick shout out here to Mikey. I see you listening, man. I love what you do with crypto and stuff. Man, I've been going to Kings games forever. And I think it's a lot of fun to have someone who cares and brings the energy every game. And there's a reason I keep going back with my dad. You know, it's awesome. I love Kings games. They're great. They're awesome. And I encourage everyone to go more often if they can.
Yeah. No, man, I appreciate you saying that, man. Hockey is the best sport to watch live. There's nothing you can argue there. There's no argument you can make. Sure. It's the best sport, plain and simple. And you said it best, like Mikey and Kayla too. They both do an outstanding job hyping the crowd up. They do a great job with all the stuff that they do in between the intermissions and the Hot Wings challenge. I love all the stuff that they do. Their energy is fantastic, and the fans feed off of it, especially the fight for your right to party in the third period. It's been a great – I mean, the Kings haven't really been that great at home at times this year that we talked about. There's been some kind of sleepy games, but I'm curious to see how the boys perform this next stretch here, this next homestand, because now you got the playoffs rolling around. I'm sure Rob Blake has maybe talked to the team, especially these last few games after the injuries have kind of taken place, to kind of get a feel of how they're feeling and maybe get a feel of what they're going to do at the trade deadline. So this is going to be where the stretch run here, where they're going to have to start to play some good hockey and consistent hockey too to get them ready for the playoffs. So it should be a fun stretch here. I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. Two quick questions before I hand it over here.
All right.
Because I know you're in the room, you're in the war room a lot of times after these wins and losses. And so based off, like, after the coaching change, you get Jim Hiller coming over. How does he, I guess, interact differently with reporters or the team, especially, I guess, is what I'm really trying to get to. Like, is there a demeanor change that you feel that was like tangible after the coaching change?
I don't know if necessarily a demeanor change. I think like it was a little bit more of a kind of a shock value in terms of when the coaching change happened. I think with how his communication is with the players, I think he's just always been more of a relationship builder and trying to get to know the players a little bit more than McClellan did. Maybe McClellan did a little bit more behind closed doors, but when you go to practices, you always see Hiller having one-on-one conversations with guys. So I think that's something that I've noticed a little bit more. And in terms of his communications with like the media and stuff, I think he does a really good job in communicating things that he wants to tell you and he can tell you. And then he also does a really good job of telling you when he's not going to tell you something, which I think is a good way of communicating with the press. Cause I mean, then you don't really leave anybody hanging. You're just like, okay, if he's not going to tell us, then I guess he's just not going to tell us. I appreciate you telling us to tell, instead of giving us like some roundabout answer. So he's just a really good communicator. I think that's a good way to kind of put it in terms of his coaching tenure so far with LA.
Yeah. Then do you think that has factored into their increased record or the turnaround, I guess I should say, cause I guess small sample size for the increased record, but the turnaround in the game, going from losing a bunch to winning a bit more, you think that's a team taking it on themselves and stepping up?
No, 100%. Like when he took over and he said that he's just looking for that mindset to change and get that confidence back, I totally agree with him, because we've seen how good that this team can be at times at the early parts of the season, right? They were outstanding on the road. And then all of a sudden they went through that stretch where they only won three games in 17. So they just had to figure out a way to get that confidence back into this team a little bit. And I think he's found a way to do that. What, the 10 games so far he's been a head coach, they're 7-3. Good start. Good start so far.
For sure. And then final question before I hand it over here. So Hanifin, I'm going to be, I try to keep up on these names and stuff, but I'll admit I don't know much about him. What would he bring to this team specifically that you'd want to see? And why should I be excited about seeing his name come up more, or should there be a name that I'm more excited to see come up other than him?
I think Hanifin would probably be like top of my charts of players available at the deadline for the Kings, to be honest with you. He'd probably be like number one. Like we've talked about, like I think the left defense is probably the number one position I could see the Kings, or I'd like to see the Kings upgrade over forward. And in a player like Hanifin, I feel like you're getting like a Matt Roy type with a little bit higher offensive upside. Mm-hmm. So I'd be pretty excited with Hanifin. I think it more or less just solidifies that left side of the defense for the Kings too. It is, and not to kind of dog on England a little bit, but if you have a chance to replace him with a player like Hanifin on the left side, and you have Anderson, Gavrikov, and Hanifin, and you figure out the pairs from there, but then you have those to mix up with Doughty, Matt Roy, and either Spence or Clark on the other side. I think, I mean, look, Hanifin's 59 games so far this season. He has 11 goals, 23 assists, and 34 points. I think that's maybe a point or two above Doughty. And so he would, I think, Doughty, how many points does Doughty have now? He had a couple tonight, so he might have more than that. He's got 37. So he's got 37. So, I mean, that's just three less points than what Doughty has so far in the season. So you're adding another really solid impact offensive defenseman on the left side that the Kings have really desperately needed these last 3 years. So I think he would really round out the blue line for LA.
Nice. Cool.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on here, man.
Yeah, for sure. It's always fun to listen in and to talk on these things. It's awesome. You do a great thing here.
Yeah, appreciate bringing the community
together. Awesome. Yes, thank you.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Let's bring in the legend himself, Mr. Mikey Alexander. He looks like he wants to request to speak. Mikey, what's going on, man? How you doing? I can hear you. How you doing?
Not hop on after that kind gentleman said such, and I didn't Venmo. I got to Venmo him or something. Message whoever just said that awesome things about his experience with his dad. Message me on Instagram, and I'll get him on the Jumbotron with me the next game he comes to. So Mikey DeLorean, just shoot me a message, because that was so kind of him to say. And Russ, shout out to you for always doing these things. And I think it's funny, right? Here in social media, we all have that gut reaction. When the Kings lose, it's the end of the world. And when we win, we're going to win the cup. So I love the fact that, that, like you said, that momentum's coming back. We're a good team. We're having some injuries, but we are a good team. And I always flashback every time that we have a struggle of a week or that 14 out of 17 loss streak that we suffered through. Boston had the best record in hockey last year. They're out in the first round. So just, you know, once you can get in, anything's possible. I believe in the guys. I think us as fans, look, I'm a fan more than a host, right? I get sad just like everybody when we lose. But I think the players like, yeah, we know how to play. We're going to, you're not going to go 82-0. And so I think we have to have faith in the guys that they're going to sort it out. The locker room clearly gets along, which I think is fantastic. And I think I do love, because I work in Ontario, seeing the young kids like Byfield and Clarkie, and it's their time to start shining now. Like, it's kind of almost like the passing of the torch. Like, but then you have Kopi and Dowdy setting the tone. So we have such a great balance that tonight, that I think, Russ, you might be similar to me. Like, there's no better feeling than being up 2-0. And then when you're up 2-1, you're like, oh crap. It's like that instant, like 2-0 feels like such a different lead than a 2-1 goal lead. So Fiala making it 3-1, that's when I'm like, okay, we're going to win this game tonight. Because like, you've been there, right? You've been in the arena with me. You're up 2-0, you're sitting pretty. And then 2-1, you're like, oh man, we're only one goal up now. They could tie at any minute. It's just such a weird feeling going from 2-0 to 2-1. So when they went 2-1, you're like, oh no, come on, we got this. Not again, not again.
I mean, especially with Vancouver, the fans were just looking for anything to cheer for all game. And when Besser finally scored there, I mean, yeah, like the building was energized. Everything was happening there. It's like, oh, here we go again, especially with how the Kings have been playing of late. So, for, I mean, you say Fiala too, which I think he did a great job on that goal. But, man, that pass by Kopitar.
Oh, yeah, that was – I mean, Kopi just – I think sometimes we take him for granted after 18 years, and he just does the quietest thing. Says he's not always the guy that's the most vocal, the biggest celebrations. He just, before you know it, he's got two assists and a goal, and you're like, oh yeah, it's Kopitar. You take him for granted sometimes, but the Clarkie goal was amazing. It was a fun game tonight, right? Like anytime you win 5-1, it was just so much fun. And I'll let you go. You know me, I could talk forever. Just shout out to all the fans that are listening now that show up to the arena, that cheer us on the road. It's going to be a great final 2 months of this season, so buckle up. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, Russ, before I go, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Okay, because I was listening on my headset to this, and I'm dusting my desk. When is too many bobbleheads too many? I have 14. I think I need to stop my Bobblehead Kings collection. Like, when is too many bobbleheads too much? Because it took me a half hour to dust my desk and dust all the bobbleheads. I think I have a problem.
Hey, there's never too many you could have. Don't we have a couple more that we're going to be giving out this year too?
We do. We got Philip Deneau to complete the four set, to complete the little crypto.com collection on the ice there. So you got to get all four. But yeah, I'm definitely a collector. I'm like, if I got two, I got to get four. But like, eventually I think I have to stop. I got too many. Shout out, if there's any fans out there listening, how many bobbleheads do you all have? Because I feel like 14 is a lot, but maybe there's one. There's got to be fans out there that have more. Oh, how many do you have?
I have quite a few Dodger ones actually too. I have some Kings ones. I don't know how many. I have a few boxed up actually in boxes in the garage. My dad was a big collector of bobbleheads, so I don't have them out spreading around. I think my wife would be upset if I had them just in the bedroom, just kind of hanging out. So
it's probably why I'm single, Ross. A lady comes over here, says 14 bobbleheads. She might want to change her phone number. That's probably what it is, buddy.
No, there's never enough you can have. And like you said, we have a couple coming out too the rest of the season. I think we're going to have to figure out a way to get some ice cream involved in that Philip Deneau bobblehead, though. I think we have to figure out how to get an ice cream cone from him after that video that came out the other day.
I think Kevin Fiala had more fun than anybody. See, and look, now he's playing so well. Maybe ice cream is the key to Kevin Fiala's success this last month.
That's what it is, right? Or he's got the new baby coming, too.
Yeah, all good things.
Yeah, some good stuff coming out. And that video was just, it was great to see because you saw that kind of relationship between the group, too. You see the camaraderie that they have between these clubs. So I'm excited for these next five games, Mike. I'm sure you're excited as well.
I am so stoked.
Kings fans need a confidence booster, and I think these five games can be a big confidence booster going into the rest of the regular season. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. And look, we're not naive to think we're going to lose again another game before the season's over. So don't jump the ship if you lose one game in the next 3 weeks, you know, because we all love Twitter. They go crazy when we lose, and that's the best thing when we win. So just keep that calm heartbeat. We got to get in. Once we're in, anything's possible. Look at the Knights last year. Look at the, like I said, the Bruins dominated all season. They got knocked out in the first round. So let's just get in. The East or the Pacific is really close right now. We could jump Edmonton. We could catch up with the Vegas. Who knows? So just bring the energy, bring the smiles to crypto. We got a bunch of home games in March, a lot of fun theme games. And truly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm not just saying this, Russ, but every Kings fan that I see in the concourse, they're all the best. I think that the minute people on Twitter, and I love the people on Twitter too, but that's to tend to complain. And the things I see in the concourse, it's nothing but positivity and happiness. And so every single Kings fan to listen, yeah, it's passion. We have the best fans in the world, and I'll dial the sword on that one. We really do. So thank you, Russ, for doing this. Thanks for everybody for listening. You all sick of hearing my voice. I'll hop off. But Russ, you're great at what you do, man. I love these sessions. Even when I hear you in your car at the crypto parking lot, lot one, just waiting to die down traffic. I do the same thing. I'm like, I'll listen to Russ because, you know, I'm not going to be in traffic for the next half hour.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on here, Mike. Yeah, I'm excited. I'll have to say what's up to you if I see you at the at Sunday or some one of the games.
Yeah, I'll hop up to Press 11 and give you a high five, man. It's been a while.
Right, man. All right. All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Kings fans, keep it going. GKG all day.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. Love talking to Mikey. He always brings the energy to the games. Love it. I'm going to go ahead and end it off that. I don't think there's any way to top that one with Mikey hopping on here. Appreciate you hopping on here, Mikey. But, yeah, big one tonight. I think that was a little bit of a confidence injection. But I can see the vibes aren't totally there yet with this team. There's still a little bit of curiosity to see if they can keep this up, be a little consistent now going forward for these next five at home. But big stretch. And then we got the trade deadline next Friday. So, exciting times. I love the trade deadline. I get so amped up when the trade deadline comes around. It's like Christmas all over again. Trade deadline and free agency. You can't get enough of it. So, but I appreciate you guys hopping on here like always. I'm going to go ahead and hop off for the night. Yeah, big one. Let's see if they can keep it rolling Sunday. See y'all.